Okay, so we're continuing this week or today with Elisha ben Avoyah. So remember, again, same source sheets from last time. So our focus up until this point in time has been twofold. Number one, who's Elisha ben Avoyah's Rabbi? Rabbi Akiva. Good. So remember, we saw the different narratives as to what happened with Elisha ben Avoyah. We saw the episode on the Gemara, the Pardes. We saw the episode in the Medrash about Asara Harugi Malchus. We learned about the episode in Ginosar. The common denominator amongst all of these episodes is what? What leads to Elisha ben Avuya's departure from the fold? Some type of theological crisis. Some type of religious, spiritual, theological crisis. Something happens to Elisha ben Avuya's sense of emunah, relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that essentially drives him off the deep end. What exactly it was seems to be the common theme throughout all of the different stories we've seen, is the idea of tzaddik v'ralo. That Elisha ben Avuya come to this conclusion of less din v'less dayon. There is no judge, there is no justice, there is no system in this world. Everything is happenstance or coincidence. Well, if everything is happenstance and coincidence, then what conclusion does that lead Elisha ben Avuya to? Do whatever you want. Then you might as well just simply enjoy life to its fullest. Lead a hedonistic lifestyle. There is nothing else to live for. There is nothing else to look for. There is nothing else to aspire to. So you might as well simply enjoy your life. So we saw what happened, how he got his name Acher with the episode with the Zona. We saw he becomes ingratiated with the Romans. And everyone leaves Elisha ben Avuya's side. Now, what I want to show you are a couple of amazing Gemaras. Because the backstory is, as I mentioned to you last time, Elisha ben Avuya is welcomed with open arms by the Romans. Why? Because remember, this was a coup for the Romans to be able to get one of the Gedolei Hadar to leave the fold of the Jewish people and to align themselves with the Romans. Because remember, again, as we saw, Elisha ben Avuya doesn't just leave. Rather, what happens? What's his relationship towards the Jewish people? Correct me, it's antagonistic. Remember again, Acher kitzeitz b'netzios, the Gemara says, he uprooted the saplings. Remember again, one of the interpretations of uprooting the saplings was what? Besides the story with the Zona, what was the other? The children. He was going into the base medrash to try to go and uproot the young children, the saplings, from embedding themselves in a life of ruchnias, in a life of spirituality, in a life of avodas Hashem. Acher, Elisha ben Avuya is Eish Lahava. He's fire against Yiddishkeit. As a result, he becomes a threat to the Jewish people. He really is an active threat. Because he's an active threat, pretty much everyone leaves him. Now, truth is, it's more like he left everyone. But everyone severs their ties with Elisha ben Avuya, with the exception of one man. Elisha ben Avuya had a Talmud by the name of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir, for reasons that we will discuss, does not forsake his Rebbe. He does not sever his ties. Now we're going to see that many disparaged Rabbi Meir for this. And in fact, Rabbi Meir is even, you'll see, he's made fun of by his fellow rabbinic colleagues for maintaining this relationship. But despite all that, and we'll discuss why this is, Rabbi Meir refuses to sever his ties with his Rebbe. So take a look at number 10. I want to show you a couple of Gemara. So the Gemara records a number of discussions between Rabbi Meir and Elisha ben Avuya. Number 10. Sha'ol Acher es Rabbi Meir la'acher she'etz la'tabusra. So listen to how this Gemara begins. Acher once asked Rabbi Meir a question. La'acher she'etz la'tabusra. Which means what? How would you translate that phrase? Right? After he went out to his bad ways. After Elisha ben Avuya left the fold, we have a number of instances where he's engaging in Torah discussions with Rabbi Meir. So he goes in, he poses the question to Rabbi Meir, "My dichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk?" Because the pasuk here in Iov, "Lo ya'archena zav uzichuchis utumuras klipas." You can see I included the English translation over here. What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, "Gold and glass cannot equal it, neither shall the exchange thereof be vessels of fine gold"? What does the pasuk mean? This is Elisha ben Avuya asks Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, "Okay, Rabbi, I'll tell you. Amar lo, elu divrei Torah." This pasuk refers to words of Torah. Shekashen leknosan keklei zav uchleipas. They are as difficult to acquire as gold and glass. V'nochen la'avdan, excuse me, as gold and precious metals. And yet what? V'nochen la'avdan keklei zuchus. And they are as easily lost as glass utensils. What does that mean? What's the interpretation that Rav Meir is giving? But what does it mean? What's the comparison? It is hard to acquire spirituality. By the way, let's spend a moment on this because this is exceptionally important. It is hard to acquire spirituality. What does that mean? Baruch Hashem, spirituality comes easy to everyone here? Fantastic. I'm jealous of all of you. Okay. Let's take a step back for just a moment. The pasuk V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha means what? Maybe we should set up like a coffee thing in here or something. First thing, good morning. Right, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Girls, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. It's a pashut pasuk. You say it every single day. What does it mean? Good. What's the problem with that? You should love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's the problem? How can you command someone to love? God could command me to do a lot of things. You could command me to keep Shabbos. You could command me to eat kosher. You could command me not to wear shatnez. You command me to do a lot of things. Behaviors, you could regulate. Can you regulate emotions? No. So what does it mean? Sorry? I heard someone whispering something. You cannot regulate emotions. You could command someone to love you? Okay, so that's a little bit circular logic, but all right, maybe if Akash Baruch commands it, it must be also, or it means something else. What else could it mean? There's a Rashi on the Pasuk. What does the Rashi say?
We already love him.
I'm sorry?
We already love him,
meaning there's a natural love. Okay, good. What does Rashi on the Pasuk say? Ase Dvarav Me Ahava. Serve him like you love him. What does that mean? Serve him like you love him. What does that mean? What it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that sometimes, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, Acharei ha-pa'ulos nimshachos halavavos. You've heard that phrase before. That sometimes the way you feel is determined by how you act. If you want to feel a certain way, then you have to go ahead and act that way. Anyone here ever been to a Sheva Brachas? Good. What's the most popular Sheva Brachas Dvar Torah? I'm sorry, no one listens. Is that what you're saying? What's the most popular Sheva Brachas? You must have heard it 1,000 times. The root of Ahava is Hav, to give, and the Chassan and Kala should give to each other, and they should live happily ever after. It's beautiful. Of course, the irony always is the person giving the Dvar Torah himself has been married for 15 minutes, but suddenly Baruch Hashem is an incredible expert on marriage, dispensing advice to the new Chassan and Kala. There's something to be said for that Vart. If you want to love someone, you do for them. Love does not occur by itself. Love is the result of actions. This actually is a very important yisod in the realm of shiduchim as well. B'shara tov matzlachas, everyone should find their bashert. And often people want to know, I want to feel it, I want to know it. There's only so much you could feel towards a person until you're in an active relationship of giving to that person. Anytime you want to feel something, you have to first act. Feelings are a result of dynamic activity. That's why, leaving the jokes about the Sheva Brachas Vart aside, there's a profundity to that idea. You want to love someone? Well, what actions, what are you willing to put into that relationship? What are you willing to do? The more you're willing to give, the greater the feeling will be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. So what does Ase Dvarav Me'ahava mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, look, sometimes I'm not in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For whatever the reason, because my life is difficult, because things are happening, or just because I'm not feeling it. So what's the answer? The answer is work. The answer is do something. Sometimes, if you push yourself to perform the mitzvos as if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then something amazing happens, which is you will love him. You will come to love him. Now, it might take a very long time. You know, I'll give you a simple example of this. Sometimes in life, you have to go ahead and do things as if you like them, even though you don't. Will you give me an example of this? I'm sorry? college. Okay, good. Good. Although I don't know that you have to even act like you love it. You just have to get your work done, right? I mean, saying, even if it says I don't like it, I guess it helps, at least if you pretend that you like it. Good. What? I'll give you a simple example. I have to take out the garbage in my house, and I'll tell you a secret. I do not enjoy taking out the garbage. I mamish don't enjoy it. But you know what? I have a wonderful wife who, Baruch Hashem, does anything and everything else. So I have one domestic responsibility, which is taking out the garbage. So I have a simple choice. What's my choice? I could say, really? It's 1,000 degrees outside, or it's raining, or it's this, or it's that. Where do all the garbage come from? Why can't people clean up after themselves? A million and one different things. Or I could paste the smile on my face and say, you know what? Zochisi, that I have a home, that I have a mishpacha. Zochisi, that I have garbage. It's a big schus to have garbage. Because where there's garbage, that means that there's dynamic activity happening. Am I really genuinely happy to take out the garbage? Am I genuinely happy to you don't know me so well. Am I genuinely happy to take out the garbage? The answer is a resounding no. But, as they say, my last year's class taught me this phrase, that you fake it till you make it. Right? That sometimes you just have to go ahead and put on a face and put on an emotional facade and act as if you feel that way, and then ultimately something amazing happens, which is you do feel that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yahavta asa Hashem Elokecha. Love Hashem, your God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean? God, you can't command me to love you. Command me to serve you. You could command me to fear you. You could command me to respect you. You can't command me to love you. And Rashi says you're 100% right. No one could command you to love God. But you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can command us to do? Do the mitzvos and make it look like you love God. Do the mitzvos in a way that make you look like you're in love with the Ribono Shel Olam. Because something amazing happens. Even if I'm not in love right now, I will fall in love at some point in time. Why am I bringing this up? First of all, this is an incredibly important yisod. Because spirituality, dveikus, a feeling of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, takes an incredible amount of work. You are growing up in a world, I'm a little bit older than you, so I could say this. You're growing up in a world of instant gratification. You're growing up in a world where everyone believes they should have everything now, without effort, immediate delivery, right? Life, you know, life is like one big Amazon Prime. You know, whenever you want it, it should just show up at your doorstep. That might work for your clothing, it might work for your school books, it might work for a lot of things. It doesn't work with ruchnius. If you want ruchnius, you have to be willing to work for it. And this is especially important because a lot of times, young women your age experience an incredible sense of aliyah when you go to seminary, which is incredible, which is wonderful. But that's like a booster shot of spirituality. That's a cocoon. That's a little bit of like a spiritual oasis. But I would venture to say that for most of you, that's not going to be the world you live in, and that's not going to be the life that you lead. But yet, you want that ruchnius. You want that same feeling of aliyah. So the difference is, it's there for you. It could be accessible to you. You just have to be willing to work for it. You're not going to get any level of spirituality or inspiration if you're not willing to work. And I want to tell you something else. A lot of times, when you're doing that work, it feels very uninspiring. And it feels very ordinary. And day to day, I'm just not feeling it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that asei devarav me'ava, if I continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I roll up my sleeves and I put in my effort and I work hard, and the feelings will come. The dveikus will come. The emotion will come. The simcha will come. The hisorus will come. So why am I sharing this with you? Because look what Rabbi Meir is saying over here. Acher asks, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya asks him, what's the meaning of the pasuk? So Rabbi Meir says, it's referring to ruchnius. Because when it comes to ruchnius, shekashan liknosan kekle gzavu kekle paz, just like precious metal, silver and gold utensils, are very difficult to come by. Why? Because they're expensive. Ruchnius is expensive. The difference is, it's not expensive als currency, it's expensive in terms of effort. You have to expend an incredible amount of effort to be able to acquire it. But here's the great anomaly. That same ruchnius that I have to work so hard to acquire can be lost how? In seconds. We know this because we all live this. You all experience this. I work hard and I build myself up to a certain point, and then in one moment, one mistake, I lose it all. Now the truth is, you never really lose it all. That's not true. But I feel like I lost it all. All of that avoda, all of that work, all of that aliyah that I had to work, that was expensive, not with money, but it took human capital, all of my effort, my heart, my soul, and then one misstep, one mistake, and suddenly I feel like I've lost it all. So ultimately, that's Rabbi Meir teaches the pasuk. Rabbi Meir explains the pasuk in Iyov. Lo ya'achena zov uzuchuches utumurasa kleipaz. Torah, ruchnios, is as difficult to acquire as silver and gold utensils, but it is as easily shattered as glass. Elisha ben Avuya responds, Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva rabcha lo amar kach. So this is very interesting. Because as we just said, Rabbi Meir, was a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya. After Elisha ben Avuya leaves the fold, Rabbi Meir goes to learn by Rabbi Akiva. So Elisha ben Avuya no longer looks at himself as the Rabbi of Rabbi Meir, understandably so. See, he says to Rabbi Meir something very interesting. He says, okay, I hear your pshat, but your Rebbe, this is now Acher speaking to Rabbi Meir, your Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, interpreted that pasuk differently. So what did Rabbi Akiva say? Elo, ma kli zav u kli zchuchis. When it comes to gold and glass, afa pisha nishbru yishlam takana, even though they break, they can be fixed. How could they be fixed? How? Right? You melt it down. Right? Fine. You melt it down and you can reforge it. You can melt down glass, you can melt down gold, and you could remake the utensil. Af talmid chacham, afa pisha sarach yeshlo takana. Even the greatest Talmud Chacham, no matter how terrible or tragic his mistake was, he can always rebuild himself. Now, do you understand? What did Elisha ben Avuya just say? Elisha ben Avuya just said that no matter how dramatic or traumatic your life mistakes are, you can always remake yourself. You could always go ahead and reshape your identity. You could always experience a rebirth, a renaissance, a renewal, a rejuvenation. You can always start again. Now says Rabbi Meir, Amar lo, af ata chazer bach. So can you imagine this? Rabbi Meir says, Rebbe, Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, succumb to tshuva. You just heard what you just said, right? You just said it yourself. You just interpreted the pasuk based on the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. You didn't like my pshat, so you gave the pshat of Rabbi Akiva. That no matter how much you mess up in life, you could always start again. You could always start again. So Rabbi, do tshuva. This is now Rabbi Meir saying to Elisha ben Avuya, Chazar becha, come and do tshuva. Amar lo, Elisha ben Avuya says, Kavar shamati me'achori ha-pargot. I already heard from behind the divine curtain. Let's talk about this parable for just a moment. The imagery that Chazal create is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you could imagine for just a moment, the celestial sphere, right, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, resides, is supposed to very much resemble the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. So what do you have in the Beis HaMikdash? So you have a Chatzar. Who comes into the Chatzar? Right? Chatzar could be anyone. Right? Then you go a little bit further into the Chatzar. You come into the area of the Kodesh. There's an outdoor area there, right? Where they had the large copper mizbeach for animal sacrifices. So that's really the only Kohanim and Levim. Then you go into the Kodesh. Who's allowed into the Kodesh? Just Kohanim. Kodesh Kadoshim? Only Kohen Gadol once a year. So if you can imagine, Shamayim is structured the same way. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where only Ribon Sha'olam has access. The Kodesh, the Malachim, and again, the rest of the area, Tzadikim. Just like the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were separated by a curtain, right? So too, again, this imagery applies in Shamayim as well. There's a paragoth. There is a curtain that separates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribon Sha'olam's Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the rest of Shamayim. So Elisha ben Avuya says back to Rabbi Meir, I would contemplate coming back, but kvar shamati me'achori ha-pargot. I already heard from behind the curtain. What does it mean I already heard from behind the curtain? I heard from God. I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem Himself. Shuvu banim shovavim. Return wayward children. Now this, by the way, the Gemara explains that every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out a call of tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, sometimes His wayward children, come back home. Shuvu banim shovavim. So Elisha ben Avuya says, I hear that voice coming from me'achori apagar, coming from beneath, from behind the curtain. But that voice also says, chutz me'acher. Except for Acher, except for Elisha ben Avuya. So what does Elisha ben Avuya essentially respond to Rabbi Meir? What does he respond? I can't. Even if I wanted to do tshuva, even if I wanted to change, even if I wanted to turn things around, I cannot. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me. Shubu banim shobavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites everyone else to return. Chutz me'acher. But not for Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya doesn't have a place in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and David has a place in Shamayim, doesn't have a place by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, by the way, what's already dramatically striking about this?
He still hears the
Basco. He hears the Basco. Anyone here ever hear that Basco? Truth is, you hear it every day. You just don't hear it with your ears, you hear it with your neshama. Each of us hears it. But Elisha ben Avuya was conscious of it. Elisha ben Avuya, can you imagine this? He hears the bas call every single day, Shuvu banim shovivim. But he also hears that the bas call says, Chutz me'achar. Elisha ben Avuya, you are not invited to the divine party. You're not invited to return. I don't want you back. So this, by the way, begins a series of tragic exchanges between Rabbi Meir and Elisha ben Avuya. We're going to see a couple more. All the same theme. Elisha ben Avuya hears the call of tshuva. He hears the invitation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to his children who have messed up to come back home and restart. But chutz me'achar. Let me show you another story. Take a look at number 11. This to me is one of the most dramatic ones. So he says over here, he says, the Gemara says, Tana Abanan, get ready for this story, by the way, is wild. Ma'aseh ba'acher she'erocheiv ala sus b'shabbos. Elisha ben Avuya is riding on a horse on Shabbos. Now, by the way, there's a different version of this story where it's not Shabbos, but it's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. Now, either way, it's not good. The act of riding an animal on Shabbos is what? Asur. Good. Now, granted, it's not an Isur D'oraisa, right? It's an Isur D'rabbanon. Although, again, there's a whole discussion about Shvisas Mehima. But leaving it aside, the point is, Acher is flagrantly violating Shabbos. Yes.
Go and join the Romans? So, like, why is he still part of the Romans?
Excellent. Hold on to that for just a moment. Excellent. Why is he talking with Rabbi Meir? Why is he... Hold on to that for just a moment. Excellent. So, watch this. So, Acher is riding his horse on Shabbos. You have to imagine this scene. V'haya, Rabbi Meir Mahalich Acharov Lilmod Torah Mipiv. What does that mean? So, can you imagine this scene? Elisha ben Avuya Acher, the most high-profile apikores, right, ingratiated with the Romans, is riding his horse on Shabbos. Fine, unfortunately, Nebuch, that wasn't the chiddush. Rabbi Meir is walking behind him. Acher is on horseback. Rabbi Meir is walking behind him. And what are they talking about? They're talking words of Torah. Rabbi Meir is getting Torah from his Rabbi. Now, let's talk about this for just a moment. It used to be that Torah Shebaal Peh was Baal Peh, right? So this is very important. Let me illustrate this. If you look in the Gemara is filled with stories about great Tanam and Amaram who are on their deathbed. And when they're on their deathbed, who is often surrounding them? Their Talmidim, which is very interesting because one would think that when you're on your deathbed, you're going to be surrounded by your family. These great Rabbanim were not surrounded by their family. I mean, I'm sure their family was also there, but they are primarily surrounded by their Talmidim. Why? Because remember, once the Rebbe died, whatever Torah he did not disseminate to his disciples went with him to the grave. So you see that when the Rebbe was dying, there was an urgency on the part of the Talmidim to extract whatever last morsels of Torah they could before the Rebbe went on to the Olam HaEmes. That's why the Rebbe's always... So to a certain degree, although we'll see that Rabbi Meir has a different agenda, but Rabbi Meir understands Elisha ben Avuya is a repository of Torah. Elisha ben Avuya possesses a voluminous amount of Torah. Rabbi Meir says someone has to get this. So Rabbi Meir is constantly engaging Elisha ben Avuya in these Torah discussions. Because he says, Rebbe, Torah hi b'limol d'ani tzarech. You've got a lot of Torah in you. I have to get it. You're not giving shir anymore. You have no talmidim. Everyone else has written you off. I need to get the Torah. Now we're going to see Rebbe Meir has a hidden agenda as well. As we'll come out in just a moment. But I no matter how many times I learn this Gemara, I can't get over the image. Can you imagine you're walking on Shabbos? You see Elisha ben Avuya, the former disgraced Gadol Hadar, or I should say, right, the former Gadol Hadar. Yeah, the former disgraced Gadol Hadar. The disgraced former Gadol Hadar, right, who now again has become an active agitator against the Jewish people, aligned with the Romans, writing his Rabbi Meir, who is one of the Gedolei Hadar, following on foot, obviously behind him, and they're talking Torah. They're talking Torah. It's a regular Shabbos. Watch this exchange. Amar Lo, number 11, second line. Meir, Chazra Lacharecha. So Elisha ben Avuya says, Mayor, you have to turn back now. Shekvar shi'arti be'ikvei susi ad kan tchum Shabbos. You hear what's happening here? Elisha ben Avuya says, Mayor, you know, you have to turn around now because I've been keeping count of the steps and we're about to go ahead and leave the tchum. Remember again, the tchum is the Shabbos boundary, nothing to do with carrying. But rather again, even on a regular Shabbos, not carrying anything, there is restricted mobility on a Shabbos. You're only permitted to travel so far. Elisha ben Avuya says, I have been tracking the steps, and therefore again, it's time for you to turn. So what does that show you? He's holding in it. He's holding it. Now you could say, maybe he's concerned about Rabbi Meir. You know, Elisha ben Avuya doesn't seem to be all that concerned with fellow Jews, right? After all, again, it's the Acher Kitzeitz Benetios. He seems to want to undermine them. Elisha ben Avuya, on a Shabbos, on his horseback, by the way, should I make it worse? You know, in the version of the Medrash, he's riding on horseback, on Yom Kippur, eating chazer. So, whether that's literal or not, the point is, like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's beyond flagrant violation. It's craziness. And yet the man who is so far gone, when it comes to Shabbos, he cannot help but count his steps. He cannot help but somehow have in mind the Tchum Shabbos. So Meir, you have to turn back. So listen to this exchange. Amar Lei, Af Ata Chazabach. So what does Rabbi Meir say? He says, Rabbi, come back with me. Come back with me. Now, what does this mean? So, you know, what does the Tchum Shabbos represent on a spiritual level? Tchum Shabbos represents the boundary of life. We all live within boundaries. Some of us have more restrictive boundaries. Some of us have more expansive boundaries. But everyone lives within a framework. The Tchum Shabbos represents the framework, the boundary of Yiddishkeit. So, Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi, come back with me. Let's go back together. You're counting the steps. You're holding. You're there. You could say you're not affiliated with this anymore, but it's a part of you. It's a part of who you are. Come back with me. Let's go back into the tchum together. The literal tchum, the figurative tchum. Come back. Be about tshuva. Be about tshuva. You yourself always talk about the power of tshuva. Come back with me. So Amrlei, Elisha ben Avuya responds. I'm in number 11, fourth, third line in. Amrlei, velo kavar amarti lecha. I'm sorry. V'lo kavar amarti lecha. Did I not already tell you? Kavar shamarti me'achori ha'pargod, shuvu banim shovavim, chutz me'acher. So ultimately, again, Elisha ben Avuya says, Mayor, I already told you. I hear from achor, from behind the curtain, return, wayward children, return, even Rishayim, chutz me'acher. But Elisha ben Avuya is not permitted to return. Which is Elisha ben Avuya's way of saying, what? Mayor, even if I wanted to return, even if I wanted to return, nevertheless, what? I can't. What am I supposed to do if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, I have no place for you, Acher. Chutz me'acher. You don't have a place before me. You don't have a makom here. Sameir, even if I wanted to, there's no place for me. So the Gemara actually goes on. The Gemara discusses Takvei. It's actually amazing. Takvei, Aile Lebe Midrasha. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir grabs Elisha ben Avuya, and he pulls him into the base medrash. So the rest of the Gemara, you could look at it on your own, but the rest of the Gemara then speaks about the idea that they run into different children. They ask the children, what are you learning in yeshiva? Yes, and the Gemara says that now that there's no longer any kind of nevuah, so there is still some nevuah that is found by children. Children, because they are pure, untainted, not cynical, not jaded, so they're able to intuit the Dvar Hashem in a different way than adults do. So the children tell Yishev and Avoy the Psukim, and the Psukim all seem to point in the direction of an inability to do tshuva. So once again, we see this dramatic exchange between Rabbi Meir and Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya himself indicating A, that tshuva is possible, B, you have to return into the Tum Shabbos. Meir saying, Rebbe, come with me. I promise you, don't have to take this journey alone. I'll be there with you. I'll help you reintegrate. I'll help you with this tshuva process. And every single time, Elisha ben Avuya giving the same answer, which is two words. Chutz me'acher. What do you want from me? What do you want? This is not my choice anymore. That door has been slammed shut by none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, even if I wanted to return, even if I wanted to do tshuva, at the end of the day, tshuva is no longer a possibility. Yes. Oh. So this raises a major theological question. Excellent. So what's happening over here? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Chutz Me'acher? What does that mean? So I want to show you a couple of different... So it's two questions, really. Number one, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Chutz Me'acher? That's number one. Number two is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really saying Chutz Me'acher, then what? Difference was Rabbi Meir asking. Good, why else?
Why is he still
sure. So, meaning, why is there then liability on Elisha ben Avuya's part? Meaning, if Chesh Baruch Hu goes ahead and shuts the door on me, I'm out, then I don't have Bechira. I don't have choice to do things differently. If I don't have choice to do things differently, then perhaps, again, I shouldn't be held accountable for my bad decisions either. So, it's even more strange. What's even more strange?
That he's talking and you can hear.
I'm sorry?
That Hashem is talking
to Elisha ben Avuya, right? Crazy. What else is strange? Theologically, what's strange about this Gemara?
He still believes in Hashem.
Good, I'm saying, what's strange about Shuvu Barim Shavim Chutz
Me'acher? How is he singling out one person?
Good, say it a little bit differently. Do we believe that this Chutz Me'acher anyone? Remember, one of the profound tenets of Tshuva is that Tshuva is a process that is open to everyone. To everyone. Remember, even the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that there are certain people who ain lehem chelech liolam haba, because their averas are so severe. But even the Rambam says they could do tshuva. The Rambam's whole of Hilchos Tshuva, is predicated on the basic tenet that tshuva is a possibility that is accessible to everyone. So what's the pshat? So I want to show you a couple of different approaches. Take a look at number 14. So the Marsha ask this question. The Marsha says, he says the following. He says, so the Marsha is bothered. First of all, the Marsha is Rav Shmuel Idels. So Rav Shmuel Idels was not his actual birth last name. I don't remember what his birth last name was. He married into a very wealthy family, and his father-in-law was supporting him to learn. His father-in-law died as a young man. And so Rav Shmuel, the Marsha, was ready to go out and work. He had to provide for his family. His mother-in-law saw such potential in her son-in-law that she said, no, I'll run the family business and I want you to become a gadol b'Torah. He had such hakaras hatov to her that he took his wife's family's last name. Idels was not his last name, it was his wife's family. Incredible hakaras hatov that he had to his wife's family. So the Marsha is bothered by this question. He says, what's going on over here? How can you hold, if indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying Chutz Me'acher, then how can you hold Elisha ben Avuya accountable for this? So the Marsha gives an amazing answer. Number 14, underlined line. Umihu hu lo haya lo lahashkiach bekach. What does that mean? Umihu hu lo haya lo lahashkiach bekach. How would you translate that phrase? Miu lo haylo lashkiach bekach. I'm a very humble group. I know someone here knows what this means. Miu lo haylo lashkiach means he should not have paid any attention to the baskal. He should not have paid attention to chutz me'achar. Okay, God, you can say whatever you want to say. I'm doing tshuva. I'm doing tshuva. You say chutz me'achar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'll excuse me. That's your problem. I'm Elisha ben Avuya, and I'm coming back home. I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to knock on the door. And I'm going to sleep by our doorway until you go out and you open the door. And if it takes however long it takes, I don't care that you have, can you imagine? I don't care, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you're saying chutz me'achar, I'm coming back. I'll give you an illustration of this. Sasanas and others explain this. An amazing Gemara Maseches Pesachim. You'll write down this Maram Mokum. I didn't put it on the sheet. It's Maseches Pesachim, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, page 86b. Listen to this Gemara. Kol ma shetomer elecha balabayis asei chutz mitzei. One more time. Kol ma shetomer elecha balabayis asei, which means what? Which means what? If you're a guest in someone's home, you have to do whatever the balabas says. Chutz mitzei. Except get out. And again, I don't know how this plays out actually, but can you imagine this? The halacha is, this is halacha. If I'm a guest in someone's home, whatever the balabas asks me to do, I have to do. He asks me to leave kiddush, I should leave kiddush. He asks me to leave bench, I should leave benching. He asks me to clean off the table, I should have to wash dishes. Whatever he asks me to do, I should do, with one exception, which is, if he tells me, get out of my house, I could say what?
No.
No. No, I don't have to listen to you. Like I said, I don't know practically. So I'll just say something interesting. Some of the Rishonim explain this Gemara was actually a response to the Kamtza Bar Kamtza episode. That in the Kamtza Bar Kamtza episode, where again Bar Kamtza is embarrassed because the Balabas throws him out and he feels compelled to comply with the wishes of the Balabais, Chazal legislated that if you are a guest in someone's home, you have to do whatever your host tells you, except if he tells you to get out. If he tells you to get out, you don't have to listen. You could stay until you want to. I don't know how long you're allowed to stay for, but you could stay until you want to, then you could leave. But comes along this Vasanas and others and says something amazing. There's a deeper theological message here as well. Kol ma shetomer elecha balabayis asei. Who is the ultimate balabayis? Who's the ultimate balabas? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you that you have to do, that you should do, you have to listen. With one exception. Chutz mitzei. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get away from me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go away from me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you in my home anymore. Thank you, but I don't have to listen. I have to listen to everything else you tell me. But if you try to chase me away from you, I do not have to listen to that. An incredible and overwhelming idea. We are conditioned, and rightfully so, to be obedient servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do, of course I'm comply. And if I can't comply yet, I try my best to comply. And if I'm not complying, I know that I should comply. Hopefully one day I'll get there. There's an exception. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, sorry, you're beyond salvation. Sorry, you're beyond assistance. Sorry, there's no place here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, shuvu banu shovim chutz, and he excludes someone. I can ignore that divine message. My job is to do tshuva. My job is to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My job is to fix myself. My job is not to be preoccupied with the cheshbon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's really what it's saying. What it's saying over here is, don't get preoccupied with the cheshbon of Hashem. Don't try to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu... You know in life what your mission is. You focus on your mission. I'll give you an example of this. Do you know who is really one of the first major Jewish philosophers? Really, the Rambam was one of the first to really codify Jewish philosophy, which is interesting. Why is there no earlier Jewish philosophy? I'm sorry? So Sibla is correct, meaning the Rambam also, because again, there was so much other philosophy in the world, he needed to have a codified Jewish philosophy. There's an interesting insight to this, which is Judaism doesn't really focus that much on philosophy. Why? Because Judaism is an actional religion. What we believe in is doing. You know what philosophy creates? Philosophers who create more philosophy, which creates more philosophers. And you can end up talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wondering about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pondering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The simple answer is we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand God through the behaviors or through the mitzvot that He gives us. to spend time trying to focus on understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a certain degree is an exercise in futility. So stop trying to figure out God and start trying to figure out yourself. So what's happening over here, says the Maharsha, is, listen, I don't know what the Baskal is saying, the Baskal is not saying. Elisha ben Avuya, you know you have to do tshuva, right? Don't worry about the Baskals. Don't worry about voices coming from heaven. Don't worry about even what God is saying to you. You know what the Kaddish Baruch Hu tells you? There's a mitzvah of tshuva. That's what you have to do. What the Baskal is saying, the Baskal is not saying. Don't worry about the Baskal. Worry about yourself. So literally the Maharsha says, what should Elisha ben Avuya have done? What should he have done? Ignore the Baskal. Can you imagine that? Ignore the Baskal. I know you're saying, Shuvah ban shavim chutz mi'acher. Ignore it. Do what you have to do. You know what your avodah is, Shuvah. Ignore the Baskal. If you yes.
At the end of the day, if someone doesn't want you, why are you trying to pursue them?
Because that's your job. Because, I'll give you a simple answer. Child says to a parent, I hate you. It happens sometimes. I hate you. So what does the parent say? Okay, you hate me? I'm done. No. Or what does the parent say? Right? Parent says, okay, you know, maybe I have to take a step back. Maybe I have to figure out a way to retool the relationship. But I can't wash my hands of you just because you don't love me. You know, because they don't love me, because they hate me. I mean, parent, I have an achrayus. Meaningful relationships, even if one party doesn't want the other, still have to be sustained. Maybe they're reframed, maybe they're reformed, but they don't go ahead and simply disintegrate. So, and take it a step further, Elisha ben Avuya, you're hearing voices from heaven. Lo b'shamayim hi. We don't live in the heavens. We live here. And in this world, when you mess up, there's a process of tshuva. Do what you have to do, and you'll figure out the rest later on. Yes?
It's not like he's like looking for signs in his life. It's literally impossible.
Right.
So like, didn't we listen to Baskal before
that? So generally, you know, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says we don't decide halacha based on a Baskal. Baskals are nice. Baskals are interesting. Baskals are beautiful. But at the end of the day, they don't shape our reality. Can be for a variety of different things. Sometimes, you know, the Gemara brings down situations of Baskals where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to voice his approval, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighed in on a halachic argument, but yet then we paskin against the Baskal. So what role do they serve? I don't know, maybe it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, maybe it's like a divine tap on the shoulder. I don't know what role it plays, because the Maharsha will say, essentially, they really don't matter. They really don't matter. They don't matter in the formulation of halacha, and they don't matter in the formulation of ourselves. At the end of the day, I know in life what I have to do, and I have to get the job done. This, but yes.
So if
go ahead, no, go ahead.
If you're not supposed to listen to Hashem, he tells you.
Wait, no, not listen to a baskal. This is different, let's say, than a nevuah, right? And that's why, again, if you notice, it's called a baskal. What does a baskal literally mean? How do you literally translate that phrase? Daughter of a voice. Which means what? Daughter of a voice. The voice is what? Presumably the voice is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baskal is some type of derivative. But it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Again, I don't know what these things mean because I don't really know what a Baskal is. So I want to be clear. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a voice emanating from the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but go ahead.
What I mean is,
we
the Gemara said
the halacha
is that if Hashem tells
you
to leave or not to do tshuva, you're not supposed to listen. So why would Hashem say that?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Hold on. So meaning, if I'm supposed to ignore the Baskal and do tshuva anyway, then why does Hashem call out? So what do you think the answer to that is?
Make it harder.
And therefore what? What is Hashem really doing? What is he really doing? He's testing your resolve. See, the difference is going to be as follows. And we're going to Elisha ben Avuya. Sometimes you do go so far that normative tshuva is not enough. There has to be even more. You have to want it even more badly than a regular circumstance. If I do an Avera, you do an Avera, someone regular, not Elisha ben Avuya, does an Avera, there's a process of tshuva. And Elisha ben Avuya, who went so far in the polar opposite direction, has to want the tshuva so much that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is slamming the door in his face, he's still going to go for it. That's the true metric. That's the true measure of the purity of his resolve. Kadosh Baruch Hu is like the Lefum Tsara Agra idea. Do you want it, even though I tell you I don't want? Do you want me, even though I tell you that I don't want you? If Elisha ben Avu is willing to do tshuva under those circumstances, then that is an absolute true tshuva. So, yes. Is that true? I mean, yes, that's true about the husband and wife. But is that true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you don't get what you want in life, what's the nature of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Not that you don't get what you want in life, it's that he doesn't want you.
People, but let's take this step further. I'm saying, it's Ma'aseh Mechol Yom that people need things. They don't get them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which essentially, if you're a person who desperately needs something and you don't get it, it's easy to view the lack of the fulfillment of that request as rejection. If you're not giving it to me, if you're not giving it to me, then what does that say? Okay, so if you're a very spiritual and holy person, you can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously determined that I don't need it. Then, okay. But there are plenty of times where we daven for things, we don't get them, and people internalize that as a sense of rejection. And part of our avoda and avodas Hashem is that even when we feel rejected, and at times we do, is to keep moving forward. Because my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not quid pro quo. It's not, there's reciprocity, but it's not based on reciprocity. Even if you don't give me what I want or what I need, I'm still here in the relationship. Okay, so that's if you want to kind of take this up a level, what the Marsha is really saying is in life, you have to know yourself what you need to do. And when you know in your heart what you need to do, don't worry about what's happening around you. Get the job done. Elisha ben Avuya, you know what has to be done here. You know that you're broken. You know you have to try to fix yourself. And you know the process to fix yourself. Baskol, shmaskol, this, that. It doesn't matter. You know in your heart what you have to do. Get the job done. Again, it's easier for us to say because we're not hearing the baskol. But that's the Marsha seems to say. In life, when you know that there's something you have to do, you have to drown out the static and you have to get your job done. Even if that static is a baskol. Again, I want to be clear. It's a dramatic interpretation. It's a dramatic interpretation. But the truth is, he has a good proof to this from that Gemara called And again, the idea is that sometimes in the realm of spirituality, you can't worry about what's God's cheshbonos, what's this one's cheshbonos. I know what I have to do. I did an avera or averos. I messed up really badly. I broke myself. I now need to repair myself. If you take a look at number 15, so this is a piece from Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik actually here says something dramatically different, which may perhaps sit a little bit easier with many of you. So which I happen to favor this answer a bit more because it appeals to me, as you'll see in just a moment. So look at the last, we're not going to do this whole piece, look at the left-hand paragraph, four lines from the bottom. Elisha yada shekala tshuva kayim. Elisha knew that tshuva was a possibility. Right, Elisha ben Avuya knew the tshuva. How do we know that he knew the tshuva was a possibility? Because Hushama Sakriya, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. He heard every single day the voice come out from the heavens, return our wayward children. Get ready for this. Abal Richuko Garamlo, Sheshama Benosaf Lakach, Games Sium Hakriya, Shuvu Chutz Me'acher. What did Rav Soloveitchik just say? Abal Richuko Garamlo, Sheshama Benosaf Lakach, The Ribono Shel Olam never said Chutz Me'acher. He never said Chutz Me'acher. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not say Chutz Me'acher? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never says Chutz Me'anyone. He never says Chutz Me'anyone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never excludes anyone from the possibility of tshuva. Tshuva is an opportunity that is available to anyone and everyone. There is no such thing as a chutz. So where did chutz mi'achar come from? Where did chutz mi'achar come from? From inside Elisha ben Avuya himself. Avarichuko garam. His distance. So what happened over here, according to the Rav? According to Rav Soloveitchik, what happened? One word.
He heard it. Made it up.
As a phrase. Why? One word. One word. A psychological term.
Rationalism.
Okay, could be rationalizing. Good. Simpler.
Hallucination.
Oh, hallucinations. It could be also insecurity. He projected. Right? Projection. What does projection mean? So projection means something is broken inside of me. Something is broken inside of me. And what do? I project that onto something or someone else. Do you know, the Baal Shem Tov writes about this. The Baal Shem Tov says that anytime you see a flaw in someone else, in reality what's happening? It's your fault. The world is your mirror. The world is your mirror. So if you see imperfections in other people and other situations, and you're quick to see those are imperfections that really reside inside of you as well. The world is your mirror. So Elisha ben Avuya, what's happening over here? Elisha ben Avuya feels so broken. Elisha ben Avuya feels so spiritually destroyed, so spiritually barren. I'm empty. I am void. I'm devoid of anything good in me. There's nothing left in me. Elisha ben Avuya essentially says, you know what? If I was God, I wouldn't want me. If I was God, I wouldn't accept me back. I have difficulty with myself. I can't stand myself. I am unhappy with myself. So if I am unhappy with myself, then what? Then what? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be unhappy with me as well. If I can't stand living in my own skin, Elisha ben Avuya says, although he doesn't say it, he thinks it, he doesn't realize it, it's all in his subconscious. If I can't live in my own skin, if I reject myself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu must reject me as well. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the Ribono Shel Olam never said Chutz Me'acher. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never slams the door on anyone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never excludes anyone. The possibility of tshuva is open to everyone. Aval richuko garam lo sheshama benosaf lakach gam esiyum akriya shuvu chutz me'acher. His own feelings of internal isolation, his own feelings of internal spiritual emptiness, caused him to feel so broken, so tzibrachim, that he said to himself, I don't like me. I don't like myself. If I don't like myself, then there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes me as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me as well. See, hear the incredible tragedy here? What's the incredible tragedy? Elisha ben Avuya, every single day, hears the baskol. Every single day, hears shuvu banim shuvim. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to him? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? Come back. Come back, we'll work it out. We'll figure it all out together. Just come home. Come home and we'll figure it out. He can't hear it. So right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu begs him every single day to come home, he says, no, that's not to me. That's to you, that's to you, that's to you, that's to you. But that's not to me. I'm too broken. I'm too broken. I feel so disgusted with myself and what I've done with my life. That I don't want me. I don't want me. There's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me either. Herein lies the great... Yes?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What has to do with there any reason why the main of the church of Elisha is the
Say that once more.
Why the Gemara randomly refers to Elisha as
So very often, and usually the pattern is, he's called Elisha before he went off the derech, and he's called Acher after he went off the derech, with the exception of that first Gemara we saw, which is the story as to why he went off the derech, so he's called Acher in that story. That's generally. We're going to see that, by the way, in our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Right? He's referred to as Elisha ben Avuya, because as we'll see, this was a teaching he taught even before he went off the derech.
So the Gemara about
So in those Gemaras where there's an opening and a possibility for tshuva, that there was a hope that Elisha ben Avuya could have come back, it refers to him as Elisha ben Avuya, representing the idea that there's the possibility for his return is still in existence.
It says after
he had
said, yeah. It says after.
Because, meaning, why does that say Atabra Surah and Acher? I don't know. It's a good question.
Okay. And also, is there a specific reason why it was fucking radishes versus anything else?
That's what was there. I would assume that that's just the plant that was readily available. Is there a symbolism to the radish over something else? I don't know. So what we end up seeing over here is the incredible tragic nature of the Elisha ben Avuya story. A man who heard the call of tshuva every single day was getting a personalized invitation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return each and every day, but felt so personally broken and projected those feelings of broken kite onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I despise me. I despise who I am. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu must despise me as well. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the rest of the narrative on Wednesday.